Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
If I had to pick of all the players that I've ever picked, the people that I would go to battle with ever in my life, he is on that team. If I have to make a 15-man roster of people that, like, I've been in battles with, I've looked eye to eye. Like, there were times where, like, Kenyon and Jake Kidd were hurt, and me and him are looking at each other. I'm like, well, how many pick and rolls are you going to set for me? He's like, hundreds. And we would just go out there and do it because we were, like, again, we came in as rookies. Yeah. We were together for 6 years and all the playoffs. So we had so much brotherhood there from a competitiveness before you even got to our college and high school histories. And so, no, like, when we crack jokes about this stuff, I just want to make sure that, like Jason said, treat your friends like you've always treated your friends. Yeah. Don't change them. Like, our conversation and even my conversation, how I interact with all my teammates now that I'm in the media side, is still the same. I still give Channing shit. I still troll Brian. I still make fun of JR. I do the same things I always do.
Hey, Road Trippin' fam. We are excited to let you know that Road Trippin' is proud to be presented by FanDuel. Never played NBA Daily Fantasy on FanDuel before? Well, check this out. Right now, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with a 20% deposit match. Why should you play on FanDuel NBA? Well, for one, it is easy to use when it comes to their app. What's not to love about that? But also, for example, they offer different and unique contests across sports in relation to your skill level. Oh yeah, and get this. You can play for big prizes, single game contests for the biggest national matches, and enter contests for as low as 5 cents. That's right, 5 cents. Simply incredible. So again, let's recap. Right now, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with a 20% deposit match. Enter URL FanDuel.com/roadtrippin to play now and get your deposit bonus. That's URL FanDuel.com/roadtrippin so they know we sent you. FanDuel, more ways to win.
This episode of Road Trippin' is brought to you by Bourbon Time. Even if you don't have the traditional 9-to-5 schedule, there is no denying that this past year has changed the way work and rest intersect. Without a designated office to come home from, we're kind of missing that little natural break in our days. Our friends at Jim Beam recognize this phenomenon and they want to help us out. Beat the burnout. Start blocking off the hours of 6 to 7 p.m. as your me time. A little me time, Allie.
Oh, heaven forbid.
To do what you love. For you and only you. I love a good me time. Me, I need about 8 to 10 hours of me time a day.
Channing, he needs all of the me time, doesn't he?
No, he needs all the me time. I just need 1 hour. Give me a hot tub, give me a cold drink, and give me some good music, and I'm good to go.
So that Jim Beam goes down so smooth.
So smooth. Just a little 8 to 10 hours of me time a day, and I'm just fine. I'm very tolerable. Let's make the idea of Bourbon Time a reality. Join me in reclaiming 6 to 7 p.m. as the happiest hour so you can do whatever it is that makes you happy. And if that involves a glass of bourbon, remember to drink Jim Beam responsibly. Jim Beam Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Copyright 2021, Jim Beam Brands Corporation, Chicago, Illinois.
Cheers.
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 Welcome into this edition of Road Trippin' presented by FanDuel. I'm your host, Allie Clifton, alongside Richard Jefferson. You see him right there,
you guys
already
have
taking
no
a swig.
Idea.
Channing Frye.
You have no idea.
It has been like 5 months since we've been in the studio. We are excited to be in the studio, and there's no better way to kick off being back in the studio than with our guest that I have just learned so much about in the last like 10 minutes. He's an NBA Cares ambassador. He's a longtime NBA vet. He's played for 7 teams, 6 teams, 9 teams.
Six franchises.
He's Richard's best friend. Channing said we only can listen to him during this episode. His name is Jason Collins.
Hello.
Welcome to the pod.
Cheers, my friend.
Everybody just needs to know this. He hasn't been drinking. This is his first sip, but he is already, because he knows what he's in for. Because, So now.
I know anytime I'm in a room with Richard, it's like you got to be on, because like he won't let you be off. Like he won't let you just be like sit and be quiet. Like he's like, we had a nickname for him. We called him a golden retriever. He was the golden retriever.
Okay, so if
Kmart was the Rottweiler,
and I was the golden retriever. Just run around happy like a golden retriever.
Okay, so if he's a golden retriever and you have to worry most about Richard, then what about Channing? Because I feel like he's the worst.
No. Oh.
No. So Channing's cool. Yeah, because you were teammates with my brother.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Big Jaren.
Oh wait.
Man, listen. He lost so much money playing poker. I'm not trying to put his business out there, but I had to talk to him on the side. Like, hey, Jaren, this ain't for you. We need to switch games. You may need to play 21. You may need to play Pinochle.
Oh, look. No, but
he played the numbers. By the end of the year, he came back, but he was getting boxed.
Wait,
those games were hilarious.
We called him Twin because in our rookie summer league, we had two Jasons. And so they were like, which Jason are you talking about? Then we're like, oh, the one that has a twin.
No, the other Jason was Jason Kidd. So like he gets to keep his name.
But it was like summer league.
That Jason keeps his
name. Thank you.
You got to change.
You got to change it, obviously. So it was just funny, like when he would come and gamble, right? He already knows the type of shit he would do. So he would come up there, right? And we'd be playing poker. This when poker was big. He would pull out his wallet and put out the money. He would put down the bet, fold his money back
up,
put it back in his wallet. Then one time he wins like a big hand, came in like halfway through the flight, played three hands, won the biggest hand of the day, took all the money and left. Yeah. And just left, which is like the rule number one, you do not do. And he wasn't a rookie. He was in like his, like, we were probably in like our fourth or fifth year. Yeah. And so he knows the rules. Literally took up like a few $1,000 and just left. And all the dudes literally wanted to just cuss him out. They didn't let him play for like 2 months after that because of what he did.
They got a little sensitive.
Who's better at poker, you or your brother?
Technically, the only time we played in a tournament that was like legit tournament, we actually played in Vegas at the main event, or it was one of the side terms. But I finished out of 3,000 people. I finished 55th.
55th. How'd your brother do?
He busted out
2,099.
He busted out earlier. But he was there giving me support. Yeah, wow. Because I gained a new level of respect for professional poker players. Because it's the mental side of it. Like sitting at a table, you have to read cards, you have to read people's body language, you have to do all these things, like, and then you're doing calculations, okay, what's the odds of this? Plus you're worrying about blinds, annies, like the whole, I really gained a level of appreciation and respect for those players who sit at those tables constantly. Because I made it to the day three of the tournament.
Well, you top, it's like 50, 55?
Yeah, out of 3,000. But, you know, it was a great learning experience.
Don't gloss over it, like, you
know.
It was fun. Yeah.
It was fun. Yeah.
Wow. Do you still play?
No, I haven't played since the pandemic. Before the pandemic, I would go down to Hollywood Park Casino here or Commerce. Mm-hmm. But since the pandemic, no, just things
change. I've been told there's like 10 phrases that I'm not allowed to use with you. There's like 10 phrases that I was like, can I say this to them? And they're like, no. I was like, can I say this to him? They were like, no. Can I say this to him?
What are you talking about?
Just, we're going to get into it. We're going to get
Let's
into
go.
It. What? No, we'll get into it. We'll ease in there. We'll ease into it at some point.
Richard's so awkward. What?
Yeah.
We're going to ease into it.
Can we please put Channing on? Yeah, thank
Richard,
you.
It's 2021, dog.
No, no, no. I wasn't talking about ease into it like that. I was more referencing, like, I figure, like, we have, like, a lot more catching up to do before we get to that.
Man, I get nervous when someone says ease into it. What?
Cut!
See, that's right. Those are the jokes. Those are the jokes I'm not allowed to make.
All right, Channing, so what now, Channing? You go, okay.
So I was walking down the tunnel in Phoenix with Jaren, and after Jason had, you know, told the world, and so I was just like, hey, what? You know, dude, I didn't even know. Obviously, I didn't know. But I was like, well, have you talked to him yet? What's that like? He was like, yeah, I called him. And I was like, what's the first thing you asked him? He was like, aren't you too big for that?
Wow.
And when I tell you, I was on the parking lot, concrete, crying, laughing. But like at the end of the day, he was like, dude, it's my brother. I don't care. It was like the best, literally the most like truest form of love I've ever heard. And after then, I've been the biggest fan of Jaren. He is like the salt of the earth.
You didn't like him before?
And it changed my whole perspective on the whole thing. No, I did. Jaren's a dirty player, and I'll tell him that. Jaren tried to break my arm one time when he played for Utah.
They are.
So I was like, man, fuck this dude.
No, they are. They're some of the dirtiest brothers in NBA history.
You play physical up until a certain point. You don't cross the line of being dirty, but there's a way to be physical without being dirty. And that's what I tried to do. I failed a couple times. I apologize, Reggie Miller. I know that was my bad.
That's my bad.
Was that your one moment that you're
No, I got kicked out.
You got a lot of moments.
I've had moments with, like,
Shaq tried to kill him.
Shaq, yeah, my bad, Shaq. But Shaq tried to kill everybody. LaPhonso Ellis, though, it was bad because I got into him with him, and then the next day or the day after, he played Utah. And then he had to play Jaren. So he was still seeing red. That's something that I had done. So he took it out on Jaren. And Jaren was like, what did I do?
But
there are those players.
You look like him.
Yeah. You like LaPhonso Ellis, Danny Fortson, like Corliss Williams, like who just, you know, you play tough. And again, you don't back down. Like mm-hmm. you play physical. But you try never to cross the line. But again, I got that flagrant two foul against Reggie. That was fucked up.
That was my bad.
And then also Tim Thomas. I'm sorry about that, too.
But Tim.
He keeps going.
Tim, yeah. I don't know. First of all, no one deserves anything, any type of injury. But,
He tried to dunk on me.
He could have handled it differently.
He tried to dunk on me. I didn't appreciate
that. Tim Thomas?
Yeah, Tim Thomas tried to dunk. He tried to go up, and I tried to go up with him.
You were trying.
I stopped at, like, the fifth floor. He kept on going up. And I ended up, like, hitting his arm. And then I didn't really follow through, but just, like, I'm a big guy. He's a big guy. He fell awkwardly, and they had to get the stretcher and, you know, carry him off the court.
Just says it casually.
As a player?
This is what you didn't know. This is one thing when, like, you know, people talk about, like, homosexuals in sports and whatever. I'm like, look, the two craziest people that I've probably had on my team, and I'm not, like, excluding, like, Kenyon Martin, who was, like, a physically just aggressive dude. Like, Jason Collins and Michael Wright are two of the toughest guys that I've ever played with. Like, Jason didn't score that much. He averaged about 5-7 points.
Bear.
He would just club
like,
people.
Out there and I was like,
he was
oh my
a
good.
Yeah. So, but that was the coolest thing. It's something that I also now that I teach the next, you know, imparting your wisdom to the next generation is once you cross the line, it's okay to be like aggressive, and it's actually to the betterment of your team if you are more aggressive than your opponent. So when you cross that line, you can become a totally different person. And that's kind of what I was. And like, you cross the line back off, you know, smiling, laughing, all that.
Yeah.
I cross that line. You know, I'm taping my wrists. I got my mouthpiece in. I got knee pads. I'm gonna fuck somebody up.
I used to always say, listen, he would literally. So our rookie year, we play against Shaq in the finals. they murder us, right? But this dude is having to guard Shaq. We're rookies. Yeah. You're 22, I'm 21. Mm-hmm. He's having to guard Shaq in the finals. I'm having to guard Kobe Bryant. We're getting obliterated, right? So the next year, all these lazy kids out there, the next year, you know what our coaches tell us? Hey, we'll see you guys for summer league in 3 weeks, right? So we go from playing in the NBA finals. Kids don't even do summer leagues now if they're drafted. Yeah. They're like, oh, I don't know, and I had a little ankle sprain somehow. We went from playing in the NBA finals our first year to going right to summer league. This dude fouled out in every game in summer league because he had been guarding Shaq. So then he tried to use the same physicality and was just clubbing people.
It's true. The refs, and that speaks to just like Shaq, like how strong he was, but also like how professional he was, because he got murdered. Like we got to beat him up. And sometimes he'd give you this Cliff Robinson used to call it the spine tingler. he'd give you that meat hook. Yeah. And all of a sudden your whole spine gets compressed. But
I caught the meat hook in New York.
Yeah.
Hey, he was bullshitting for 3 quarters. Yeah. And then all of a sudden he goes, hey, little fry, sorry, we have to win this game. Hit me with this. Next thing you know, I went black and I'm in a stanchion. Hey, I looked at Isaiah Thomas and Larry Brown like, hey, this isn't gonna work no more. I want to live.
Yeah, he's one of those guys like you just don't, because I would always, when I was playing against him, I would try to be like, hey, Shaq, how's it going, man? How's the family good? Everybody? Everything
get
okay?
Get him on your good side?
No, you do not want to, like, you don't poke that bear. Like, just don't, because you know that side of him, because you've seen it with Greg Ostertag and sometimes with Dikembe. He comes through
all
with that elbow.
Every big. Yeah, David like, Robinson. Yeah. Every big. Like he just sent a physical message.
Yeah, he'll flip a switch on you.
Okay, you said, like, there's that line that, like, once you cross it.
Yeah.
Who's that one guy that made you cross that line?
Oh, God. I tried not to – there wasn't there that – I would say Danny Fortson was one of those guys who
I wouldn't touch Danny Fortson.
Well, it wasn't that, like, but like
you had to
meet his physicality. Like you couldn't let him.
And no one's stronger than Danny Fortson.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, thank God we had like players on our team like Roddy Rogers who were fucking just country strong, like kind of guys.
Yeah.
But and A-Train. But yeah, there are some guys you can't back down from them. Mm-hmm. But they always would. You know, try
let's
to get
just say,
first.
Let's just say this. Danny Fortson would smoke marble reds at halftime. Danny Fortson, he smoked unfiltered.
He's a beast.
Unfiltered Newports at halftime.
He was rolling his own cigarettes like Wild Wild West.
Yeah, that man, that man was aggressive.
But on the bench.
Yeah, but yeah, I appreciate that. I like the challenge. That's what, as a professional athlete, you have to love the challenge. Whether it's, you know, someone trying to be more physical than you or just has more skill and talent than you. And it's like, okay, how can I compete? Like, how am I going to, stay on the same court with this dude and help my team win? Well, it always came back to the team.
And that's one thing that, you know, as going back, like we had known each other. I think I might have met him in high school. I'm not sure. But obviously he goes to Stanford. I go to Arizona.
Yeah.
And so I get there and Luke is my roommate. I don't know any of the California State basketball. He's laughing. I don't know any of the state California basketball championship stuff, but I know California is the best state in the country when it comes to basketball. So Luke gets there and I'm like, oh yeah, we playing Stanford. He's like, I fucking hate Stanford. And I'm like, yeah, okay. He's like, no, they got the consequence. I can't stand them. And I was like, why can't you stand them? Right? He's like, and then he goes, dude, 2 years in a row, state championship, him and his brother, and they had other good players. And then Luke Walton's team was from San Diego, him and his brothers, they never lost. These idiots never lost. And they would always meet in the state tournament 2 consecutive years.
Yeah.
One game goes to overtime. One game is close. Yeah. And whoever wins that game is going to win the state championship.
Yeah.
Both times Luke Walton loses. So then fast forward, this dude, so Luke wins the state championship this year, but now we're our rival at Stanford. So Luke is embedding hate in me. And I was like, yeah, fuck those guys. Let's go get them. And then we just, like, that was back when the Pac-12, like, actually had substance.
You know, they're coming back. They had a good run this year. They had a good run in March Madness this year.
Yeah. But no.
The women did. Heck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
But no, I'm just saying.
UCLA, Harvard Westlake, Johnny Juzang went up.
Here we go.
Yeah, just that long history we had before we even got to the Brooklyn Nets. So, like, all of a sudden you're drafted with a guy that you've just been, like, hating for 3 years. And it was...
And it's funny because I don't carry that that hate with me. Like, I was really good at separating when I cross a line. Like, when I'm on the court,
like
yes.
Anything.
Yeah, in fact, I led the league in fouls 1 year. Like, I was, I was that physical guy. But when the game was, you know, I tried to keep all that, like, that negative stuff, you know, on the court and just, like, you know, try to live my life over here. Plus, I'm dealing with the fact that, you know, I'm in the closet and all the stress and pressure.
Yeah, I would love to ask that question because in my head, I'm thinking, like, where does that stem from in terms of, like, having that within you of being physical and having that mindset? So, and then, to your point.
Just because he likes boys doesn't mean he's not physical.
Okay, all right.
Hold on. So, wait,
here we go.
Respectfully. God, so Richard.
Here we go. Okay.
Yeah,
this
go.
Is his so world and his beef. Life.
I got beef with you.
He is the guest.
I got beef with you.
For what? What
okay,
I
okay. So, many years ago,
That had nothing to do with me.
Shut up.
That had nothing to do with me.
Hang on, because I know where this is going. So is it okay if he tells it?
Yes, of course.
No, I don't give a. I don't care.
I know you don't.
We can also edit this.
No, listen. So years ago, and this man wants to speak about being. He wants to speak about being closeted. Oh, now he wants to come out. So this is what happened. Same, just like how you were talking about how you were talking to Jaren, Channing. So this dude. Back in 2004, there was maybe 2005 or six. There was like rumors going around that there was a player on the Nets that was like closeted gay and like homosexual. And so people started looking at me and I'm like, nah, shut up, shut your face. People started looking at me and I'm like, that ain't me. What are you guys talking about? Only two people. And I don't even think Eddie House knows this. Two people. Eddie House comes up to me right like a practice, like this like BS story comes out. And so he comes up to me, he's like, hey, Richard, man. Some people are saying some stuff. I just want to know if it's true, right? And I was like, no, it's not true. He's like, all right, cool. And then went about his business. And then I get a text from this dude, and he goes, I just want to let you know I got your back, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, so in my heart, so listen, That's what he says. So then in my mind, I'm like, you know what? That's my guy. We got drafted together. We've been in finals together. We've been like, that's my guy. Fast forward 10 years later, all of a sudden my phone starts blowing up. Yo, Jay, did you see? Someone sends me the screenshot of the Sports Illustrated article. And I was like, yo, what did he say? Yeah, I've been meaning to tell you some stuff. And then I'm like, oh no. And I go, motherfucker, you could have came out back then. Gotta like have all these people thinking I'm the one out there like that.
First of all, I wasn't ready to come out. So
thank you. Yes. Yeah,
everyone's on their own path and schedule. So
okay.
I never
forced.
So,
I get it.
But,
I get
and
it.
I didn't know if it was so I and again, I never actually said I was gay till I was 32 years old. Mm-hmm. 33 years old was the first time I ever said the words, I am gay. And told another living soul. I didn't go on a date or have any kind of experience with the man until
after. What do you
after,
mean by experience?
Like any kind of.
Oh my God.
Unbelievable. Any kind
no,
of experience.
I got
experience.
You. If you just want to stay on. Yes. Yeah, I got yeah. you.
I almost went down that rabbit hole. Yeah. But yes, okay. Do you really want to know? Do you really want to know? Okay.
Who would have ever guessed this would have been our most entertaining episode?
So I never had until after. So that Sports Illustrated article came out on a Monday. I didn't have an experience with the man until that Friday.
Oh, so, you moved quick.
So I moved, yeah, but again, I was 34 years old. So I was like, I got to make up for some, you know.
Oh, you're saying from the article.
Yeah, from the article.
Coming out,
yeah,
which
so
was
there was no way that anybody would ever suspect that I, in my mind, there's no way that they could suspect that I was gay because I was still in such complete denial at that point.
Yeah.
But if I did have a gay teammate or a closeted teammate or someone who was I would want them to know that I was going, regardless, I would have their back. Yeah. That I was going to be a good teammate and that I would actually say the words.
Look, the reason.
But I'm sorry that you, I'm sorry that they put you out, but you know where that story originated from.
We know who was planting. There were some disgruntled people that was around our team and situation, but this is not that type of podcast. We don't talk about that type of gossip. Real talk though, like
I got nothing.
I will say this, from not even being that way, but having, because I remember it vividly because my ankle was messed up. That's when I had to have surgery on my ankle. Okay. So I'm going out and performing, like just trying to remember, I was getting cortisone shots in my ankle. Yeah. This was right, I don't remember. I think Jay Kidd was coming back from some sort of injury or something. So our team was right. Somebody was right. We were right on the cusp of making the postseason. And I'm like, I can't do it anymore. I'm not going to get 7 cortisone shots. I had to get bone spurs out. So I was having things said about me while I was not healthy. Mm-hmm. So like that combination was just brutal because you can't go out there. Your court isn't like your safe confines where people can get away on the court because your body is not right. And then off the court, you're having people said things about you. So I will say this, like not knowing what you were dealing with, I did appreciate that support because I was in a tough spot. I'm like, yo, this ain't true. My ankle's messed up. Right. I don't know what's going on. So, you know, that part I don't have beef with you, but I'm like, you could have saved a lot of rumors and questions if you just came out.
Yeah, but I wasn't ready, but I'm glad that everything's worked out.
How old were you at this time? Like, when was that?
25, 26?
Oh.
Yeah, we were 26. Yeah. Okay.
26?
Yeah, but we're like right in our primes, right? Like,
26,
Yeah. I had no idea. Okay.
But what is that process like, though?
No, Channing, we got to go back because I know too much of this dude's story.
Oh, go back.
Okay. No. So, but no, but I want to know, and I mean this as a brother. Like, you know, legitimately, like, as much as you were like stepbrothers, right? Like, we're still brothers, right? Because people don't, everyone's
going to. That's a big goal.
As long as I'm Will Ferrell.
Everyone's going to laugh, but these are the conversations that him and I have all the time. But like, you were engaged, right? And I know you've talked about this stuff. Yeah. And I remember your fiance. I remember the first time you walked through the hallway. I remember when you walked through the hallway. Me and Jay Kidd were going out. And you were coming back in and you had just gone on like your first date. I think, I don't remember where we were, but you were like starry-eyed, right? Like that was
so
not
as
fake.
As a young man, I was trying to lie to myself.
Okay.
And from junior high school, when I first started dating women, I always had it in my mind that I would find the right woman who would make all these feelings that I had go away. Mm-hmm. And it does not work like that. So, yes, you can, like, if we were, I would say, like, you can fall in love with someone for the person, the human being that they are, but when it comes down to sexual orientation, are you physically attracted to them? Are you, like, does that, like, what do you, like, what revs your engine kind of thing? What revs my engine? Yeah. Do you really want to know?
God, I love you. You're so
God.
Funny.
So, but I was still trying to figure that out in my 20s. And yes, I was dating someone, got engaged, thankfully called off the wedding because I have, since that time, and obviously since coming out, I have met so many people who did get married and then were in loveless marriages and then would start stepping out and like living two separate lives. And that's not something you wish on anyone kind of thing. So I just wish that I'd figured all that out.
Me too.
But okay, good. But I think that there's a lot of people who I've met who have similar stories.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it took me until I was 32, 33 years old before I even said the word that I am gay and accepted it.
Yeah. Well, look, I had your back.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. I had your
that.
Back the same way you had my back, right? Because it wasn't about sexual orientation. It's about, to me, it was about respect for the individual.
Yeah.
Right. Like
friendship.
We had known each other for years. Mm. You came out and you had my back in a spot where like, again, we're talking about 2006. Like,
and the country was different.
The country was different. Yeah. Even 15 years ago, the country's different. Yeah. And all of a sudden, it's like. all of this stuff gets said about you and whatever, it's like, you know, it's emasculating. You're like, no. And then you don't want to, like, you're not going to go, like, go and overcompensate. I remember being and seeing Mike Piazza had a press conference. Mike Piazza had a press conference.
He's not the only professional athlete who's had a, had a press conference.
Some conferences, some conversations.
Done an article and be like, I really like girls. Sure you do.
So wait, what is that? Okay, so two-part question. Like, what is that like on a daily for you in the league with your feelings doing that, right? Just it doesn't have to be too personal, but like, you know, for anybody listening, they'd want to know, like, was there more, like, was there a lot of acting about it? Because, like, for instance, I would work out in Phoenix with, like, Mike Bibby, God, I forgot his name, the quarterback for the Eagles back in the day.
Donovan McNabb.
Yeah, Donovan McNabb. A bunch of guys that we would work out with John Amici, and it was like, whatever. And then when he came out, I was like, okay, like, whatever. Yeah. Like, no big deal. So, but to come out back then, to come out now, that's the first part. What was it like on a daily? And then secondly, how much has things changed from then to now, and how much do you expect it to change from now till another 15 years later? Like, do you see and feel progress to where now we can joke like this and it's not like, you know what I'm saying? Where it's more, everyone's so much more comfortable, I feel.
Yes, and I think that speaks to the issue that our country has changed and is changing for the better. We still have roadblocks. There are still obstacles, but in a general sense, things are getting better. For me, back in the day on a daily, it was focus on my job. There are so many people who are dealing with an issue. It isn't just about it could be about whatever issue is going on in your life the elephant in the room that you don't want to address. So you sort of, okay, what outlet can I do? For me, it was my job. Do my job, focus on basketball. Everything is about basketball. So everything was fine because I had that outlet. I had that daily routine until the lockout. And then when that daily routine gets disrupted, it's like, okay, shit, I don't have this outlet. What am I gonna do for the rest of my life? When this outlet, because, you know, father time is ticking, what's gonna happen then? As far as the environment now for, I'm in contact with closeted athletes. Again, everyone's on their own path, but for some reason, I was expecting with my story, with Robbie Rogers in Major League Soccer, with the LA Galaxy winning a title with them. When I came back with the Nets, everybody, you know, you have all that talk, it's gonna be a distraction. We went 10-2 in my first 12 games. We ended up making the playoffs, beating Toronto in Toronto in the first round in game
That's
7.
That's not that hard, by the way.
Hey, come on now. Game 7 in Toronto. It was the loudest I've ever been.
It's a great place.
It
was the first time where I could hear, you know, that Jurassic Park outside?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you could hear the people outside the building.
When you hear the second wave, because they see it like a few seconds later. Yeah. So you hear the roar.
Yeah.
And a few seconds later, you hear a second roar come.
It was
crazy.
So cool. It was like, it was awesome. Like, if I was, you know, a professional athlete, I would love to play in front of an environment like that. But anyways, we ended up beating them. So I was expecting there to be more male athletes stepping forward. Because when I was a young kid and I was looking for, okay, who are the gay sports heroes that I could look to? The only one I could look to on TV at my time was Martina Navratilova. Hmm. And she's an idol. I absolutely idolize her. And before her, it was Billie Jean King. Mm-hmm. So female athletes were leading the way. And even now, to Channing's point, like what's going on today, again, it's still female athletes leading the way with regards to living their life, speaking their truth. And you can look no further than WNBA, Sue Bird, Brittany Griner, Elena Deladon. The list goes on and on. Diana Taurasi, of Hall of Famers who are stepping forward and speaking their truth. And you can see with the most dynamic couple maybe in all of professional sports as far as two athletes being Sue Bird and Megan Rapinoe, just living their life and setting that example. And I'm hoping that there's going to be another athlete like me, a male athlete, who's looking at them is going to be inspired by them, because you don't see it in the world of male sports right now. What you do see is that the leagues have improved incredibly since even the time that I stepped forward in 2013. NBA, WNBA were the first to march in the New York City Pride Parade. Since that time, all the other major sports leagues are now participating in the New York City New York City Pride Parade.
I've been in New York during that, obviously, when we lived there. What do you wear to that parade?
So the NBA will give you. So you usually wear jeans and a T-shirt.
Jeans and a T-shirt. Support you. Yeah. Why are you looking at me? First of all, you know what I'm talking about.
No, so this is great.
We're gonna have the conversation. If you haven't been in New York during that parade,
You will see everything.
You will see.
You will see everything.
So you're asking specific to him, like what he.
Yeah, I'm asking like he's my boy.
So when the NBA float. We usually have a T-shirt, and you could wear jeans.
But if you were on your own time?
If I was on my own time, I would wear shorts. I would actually wear shorts, because it's usually pretty hot. Shorts and a T-shirt. I'm not doing the whole leather daddy thing. That's not me. You know, to each their own. If everybody wants to do it, you know, you could go do it. But the cool thing was, I remember Michael Beasley, because there are straight allies who actually are on the float, you know, when after this, you and Channy can come on to the float.
If you call me, I'll be there to support you.
Y'all can come on the float.
Yeah, I'll support you.
But when you turn up Fifth Avenue, it is New York City Pride Parade is the largest in our country, probably largest Pride Parade in the world. The whole street, Fifth Avenue,
from
village all the way up to Midtown, lined with people, rainbow flags, the whole thing. It's beautiful to see.
Have you been to any of the after parties?
I have not been to an after party for the New York City Pride Parade.
Which one have you been to an after party
for? So this is funny. So I came out in 2013. I thought I was, you know, I was
going to be a
bell of the ball.
Bell of the ball. You get your toenails painted. So, you're wearing puka shell necklaces.
Yeah, we'll talk about the toenails in a
second. Shrek.
We do need to talk about his toenails in a second.
So he tells Allie her nails are nice.
Her nails are incredible.
And I'm like, no, he's saying that because he's probably going to get that color.
No.
That's what, God.
Yeah, so this is, all right.
Here we go.
And we show
toes. Y'all can see the toes.
He's showing toes.
But wait a second. Is that a French tip, though?
It is a French tip.
You ashy.
I didn't think I was going to be showing my toes on.
I thought for a second you just needed a pedicure. It's a French tip.
It is a French tip.
Who cares about some toenails?
Yes. It is definitely. Anyways.
I know. Hey, first of all, D-Wade paints his toenails.
Yes.
He was like, my toenails are black.
Because his are all black.
He goes, I might as well shellac him with the gloss.
Yes. So I will be getting that color soon. But I'm inspired now.
Anyway,
so I go to the Abbey in West Hollywood.
Okay.
Which is the biggest gay bar in town. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to be the belle of the ball. I'm coming in there. You know, I'm going to. And this is. In June of 2013, I go in there and all of the gay men in there were like, hey, how's it going? Like, no clue who I was.
No
clue.
Yeah.
The lesbians, oh, they knew.
I hate to say it'd
be like a stereotypical, like, but like the lesbians know sports. All the lesbians like flocked to me and were like,
hey,
like
the lesbians
oh, we're
sports.
Hanging with Jason Collins. So I was once again surrounded by women. I was like, okay, this is cool. I know how to do this.
So you became really good friends with a ton of lesbians.
Yes. Lesbians are great. I love lesbians.
They're wonderful. Okay. I had a lot of them.
Wait,
as my college teammates
in
college.
Straight males say
love
that?
Them to death.
What? He's not straight.
Can I say that?
Oh, that you love lesbians?
No, can I say that? Can a straight male say lesbians are awesome?
Yes.
1,000%.
Straight females can be like gay dudes are awesome.
I
think that's actually a conversation.
Okay. What?
That, just like what Channing brings up, because I think that is, in all fairness, and I also think that it's a shift in a moment that we are in right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's acceptable, what's not, what is appropriate, what's respectful, what is not.
So as long as you're coming from a place of genuine respect, like you just said, it's respect, and that you truly have like a good heart and good intentions behind what you're saying, even if you misspeak, it's okay. And then it's not that it's on the person in the moment to correct you, but it's an opportunity for someone to say, hey, I get where you're coming from and I love the support, but why don't we use this word instead,
or
this term. Yes, exactly.
Tight.
Yes, and we all know when someone is coming from a place of bad intentions or someone is coming from a place of good intentions.
But so. That's where, like, I know people are going to see this.
That's exactly why.
People are going to see this and think that, oh, well, Richard's saying these things, or they're cracking jokes. We've been brothers for 20 years. We've known each other for 25.
Which is crazy.
I know, it's crazy.
But he's had the same haircut, though. He's always been bald.
You know what's really funny is because he's so bald and so shiny, our makeup artist, Genesee, was chasing him down the hallway to
the point that I was going to make is like, hey, look, I'm not saying that if your buddy comes out to talk to the way that we have like a history and I would shoot him texts and say stuff or he would shoot me texts.
You got to put context behind everything, okay? Like, you can't just...
Why? Rich sometimes forgets that part. Yeah.
If you saw some of the text messages, there's a back and forth.
Yeah,
and
so he's cracking jokes about
that is why... when you do come out, you want your friends to still be your friends and just still have that relationship as you were before. And our friendship has always been like, you know, a little bit trash talking, you know, a little bit respect, you know, respectfully.
You the guy that won the league in the most fouls? You?
Yeah, you gave me so much more ammo.
But I really just gave myself an opportunity to really, because I can always come back.
And so what happened on the moment?
And his default is like, do you really want to know? I'm like, no, I don't want to know, dude. How are you doing? You good? How's everything? How's Elsa? How's your brother? How's your kids? Like, how the kids? What's going on? So,
okay, I do want to ask you a question before we kind of wrap up that discussion, if you will.
Yeah.
Because I remember my first year here, I believe it was 2018, 2019, that season.
Okay.
You accepted the award with Genie Bus.
Yes.
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 I think just from that moment, the league... as a part of like what we all are a part of. Right. I know there is the element of the world and outside and that growth, but for you to be in the league, to come out while in the league, and then to be standing there, you know what I'm saying? Just the acceptance, the love that you're seeing, feeling.
It's so cool to see sports leagues, sports franchises have Pride Night games. Mm-hmm. I think that when I accepted that award, was the Lakers' first ever Pride Night game.
Yep, it was.
So my goal as an NBA Cares ambassador is to, and you can't mandate this, but you want to sort of create that culture where at a minimum, all of our franchises have a Pride Night game to celebrate the LGBTQ community, their fans, their employees, people in the organization, top to bottom. It's just... So I am, every time there is a Pride Night game, and there, especially when it's the Lakers, my hometown team, I remember being a kid and going to Laker games. And so very honored. And Jeannie she's just an incredible human being. I love Jeannie Buss. She's just like cool people. She really is.
Geez,
like, you would, most down to earth, like boss.
That's a stupid question.
Down to earth boss. We're used to it.
Literally.
What does Q stand for?
LGBTQ. All right, let's go through it. L, lesbian. G, gay. B, bisexual. T, transgender. Q is either queer or questioning. And then you'll see LGBTQIA.
Jeez, come on.
We can add more, yes.
I
is for intersex.
Yeah.
Do you know what intersex is?
I don't.
No, okay. I don't know.
When we were growing up, it would have been hermaphrodite. But it's now the term. Oh. But intersex is now the term.
Oh. Okay.
Okay.
What's the term? What was the original term?
Hermaphrodite.
He still doesn't know what that means. Okay, you have to Google that.
No, I'm not Google. Don't Google that.
This is where you insert your line. Do you really want to know?
So we're doing some education here.
This is cool. When I asked you what you're doing now, the first thing you said was public speaking, and I imagine you talk on this a little bit.
Yes, so my mom actually hit me the other day.
Wow, that's kind of
because
aggressive.
Because she was...
Oh my God. Edit.
My mom called me the other day because she saw that Sam Smith uses the term non-binary. And my mom was like, what does non-binary mean? And I had to explain what non-binary meant. And okay, I love that.
Just for like maybe people, maybe people out there that don't know. I know, because but just for them,
am
can
I
you
not
explain
mistaking?
What non-binary is?
Demi Lovato. Demi Lovato.
Demi Lovato.
Just came out non-binary.
So non-binary. Yes. So when you're talking about LGBTQ community, you're talking about sexual orientation, but then also gender identity, how you see yourself in the mirror. When you are non-binary, you do not see yourself as either male, traditional male, or traditional female. You are just non-binary. Like you don't, and you then use pronouns that are neither male or female. Traditional male pronouns, he, him. Traditional female pronoun, she, her. You use they, them, which are neutral. So, and the hardest thing for me was when I first came out, because I got like sexual orientation, like I got that, was just understanding gender identity and understanding transgender man, transgender woman, being bisexual, which is, goes back to gender
orientation. Are you bisexual? Oriental.
No, I am gay. I am gay.
So no more. No more.
I'm not laughing.
I'm just saying. I'm asking.
No, it's totally cool.
There's
I'm
a totally D. Fine. LGBTQ.
IA.
Yeah. So there's like. I'm laughing because this is my close friends. I'm not laughing about the situation. It's just funny that we're talking
somebody's
about.
Somebody's so defensive and ask your question.
No, shut up. Because we have to understand how it's going to be perceived.
Exactly.
No, but I'm saying. I just didn't know. Like you have. I've been with women, and I'm assuming that you have done other things.
That life, so that's the thing is that I never, before I came out public, I never had other things. It was always women.
Okay.
And then after I caught off the engagement, for 3 or 4 years, I was by myself.
Man,
completely like if I'm telling people,
right arm strong.
Oh my god, dude.
Right arm strong.
Edit that motherfucker out.
So I did not have any kind, but I would tell people that I was, you know, dating and that. But it's interesting because I have an aunt who would ask how my dating life was going, but would use gender neutral pronouns when asking. Oh, how are they? She would do the, how are they doing? How are they?
You know,
she knew, but she didn't want to, never want to force somebody out of the closet because they could retreat further. And
That's all bad.
So anyways, but you lay the groundwork down.
Well, okay, so there's been a big shift in a conversation very, very recently about transgenders in sports, right? You know, and I know it's a complicated. I actually sent you a text because I wanted you to think about it. I wanted to hear what your thoughts were about it. But like, what are your thoughts? Because there's laws going in place. There's the president signing orders. There's individual states. Like, what are your thoughts about like transgender? Like, and it's mainly high school because I've asked Sue Bird. I've asked Elena Deladon, and they were like, and I don't want to say what they said. We'll discuss it. I want to hear what your thoughts are.
No, go ahead. Like, what
is it? It's just like I want to hear your thoughts because I don't.
Okay.
You know,
my thoughts are, yes, this pertains in particular. It's not just high school. It's down the line, middle school, elementary school, in regards to transgender females, transgender girls, are they going to be allowed? So they are, for those at home, they are born as traditional as someone would think, traditional boy, but then convert to being a female. Mm. So transgender girls, I believe, should be able to play sports because it's youth sports. And I don't see, when it comes to collegiate level, there are guidelines with regards to their protections, with regard to checking the hormone levels and this and that. Mm. Even at the Olympic level, it's the same thing. They make sure that there's the testosterone levels and then the hormone levels. But I remember playing against, and if the biggest worry is that the transgender girl is going to dominate the other girl, the other be the best player on the court, it's going to make you a better athlete. going up against a better player. It's going to make you, I remember when I played against, do you remember the name Shea Cotton?
Yes, yes, LA legend, yeah. LA legend.
This, Channing, you remember Shea?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh,
nah,
yeah, I'm a little younger than you, but I ain't that young.
Shea Cotton, he's an LA legend.
So you go up against the best, yeah. It's going to make you better. And so my nieces, who are 12 and 10 right now, they have four games tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, Channing, yeah. The girls are getting older.
God.
But and if for some reason they're playing against, and it doesn't matter if it's a transgender girl or if it's just a girl who's better than, it's going to make you better. It's going to make you a better athlete.
But what about the argument that they're going to take away opportunities, or my daughter's not going to win a state championship or not going to get a college scholarship because she's competing against the boy?
She's competing against a transgender girl.
You know what I know what you're saying.
I know what you're saying. We're just going to do that little education there, right there.
Education.
Education.
It's actually important.
This is what other people are saying.
I know. But so in that moment, like, you're going to have to show me multiple examples of that happening.
Yeah.
I don't see that on a multiple across state levels where a transgender woman is taking scholarships away from another woman. I don't see that on so many levels. Now, if we get to a place where, then maybe we can readdress that at a later date.
Where
it becomes an actual issue. Right now,
We're doing a panic and we're trying to target, and it's so bullshit because this is what people do. You point at something and say, okay, focus on that. We got a whole lot of other issues we got to work on in this country, but we're worrying about transgender.
0.00000001.
The percentage, the numbers are so low. And
one
again,
more zero, Richard.
Zero.
One more zero.
Zero.
And again, for my nieces and nephew, for my two nieces, if you're going up against and if for some reason they are a better player than you, it's going to make you better. Because what made me a better basketball player was when I was 12 years old, when I was my niece's age, I was playing in pickup games with my dad and his friends. And getting beat up.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're the same way.
Same
I know
way.
Channing's the same way.
Yeah. That was what we did. We didn't do we didn't do 100 hours of AAU. AAU was big, but we were still going to the parks, going and playing with our dads, going and playing with the OGs at the park. That was just kind of a part of it.
And you just learn how to, okay, this is how I play against somebody who's bigger and stronger than me.
And even a lot of women's team have men's or boys, like if you're in college, practice with them.
Yeah.
So that we had, there
that's
was
our practice guys. Our practice team players were guys.
But people don't know that. People, if you're not familiar with like college sports, like or even like WNBA, they will have men practice against them. The physicality, the strength, the quickness, and all of that stuff.
Allie, were those dudes f***ing you up? Or were you
of course they were. And we were, I had my moments. Mac Truck had her moments. But with that said, to your point, the reason why they were brought in was to make us better. So that when you actually faced your level of competition,
And trust me, I'm taking Brittany Griner all day. I don't care who you put up.
But then that's so funny. It's like, dude, like when all this stuff, like everybody has an all-time team, and I've said this about you multiple times. Like when you have an all-time team, like who are the guys that you would go in a foxhole with? Yeah. I don't use that term anymore.
Another Richard moment.
But who do I want? If I had to pick.
How many people are you going to piss off?
A lot. But I just, they got to understand, like, the stuff that he says to me is far worse.
No, I love, there was an expression when the fight's going down or when the game's getting tough, there's an expression somebody used, like, well, this player is going to go search for the team bus. He's going to be waiting for you at the team bus. He's going to be waiting on the team bus for you.
If I had to pick of all the players that I've ever picked, the people that I would go to battle with ever in my life, he is on that team. If I had to make a 15-man roster of people that, like, I've been in battles with, I've looked eye to eye. Like, there were times where, like, Kenyon and J-Kid were hurt, and me and him are looking at each other. I'm like, well, how many pick and rolls are you going to set for me? He's like, hundreds. And we would just go out there and do it because we were, like, again, we came in as rookies. We were together for 6 years and all the playoffs. So we had so much brotherhood there from a competitiveness before you even got to our college and high school histories. And so, no, like when we crack jokes about this stuff, I just want to make sure that, like Jason said, treat your friends like you've always treated your friends. Yeah. Don't change them. Like our conversation and even my conversation, how I interact with all my teammates now that I'm in the media side, is still the same. I still give Channing shit. I still troll Bron. I still make fun of JR. I do the same things I always do.
You still hoop?
No, I teach. I'll do clinics, you know, for the next generation, for my niece's nephew. I'll take him to basketball practice. I was just watching the game the other day. So if you're a youngster out there.
Oh, here we go.
I gotta do this moment. I gotta do this one moment. My man was calling for the ball, and the ball came, and he gonna leave this one hand up there and try to like then bring it. If you see a ball coming, two hands.
Oh, here we go.
Two hands, okay? Whoa. This is the coach coming out. I'm not even a coach, but this is just me being like I'm seeing stuff on the, and I see a ton of other stuff in U Sports with watching my nieces and my nephew play. But that's the one thing. That's the last one thing. Use two hands to catch the ball.
We'll edit that out.
Because this is, there's one player, Todd McCullough.
Big dip.
Big dip.
Big dip.
That man, you know, God bless him, nicest human being. But he ain't exactly what we say the most. talent. But his NBA talent, he could catch a pass anywhere because he used two hands to catch a ball.
Yeah.
And he has soft mitts. So
if it wasn't for his like, you know, issue that he had, like his health issue, Todd McCullough was a very good player.
And just the nicest
guy. Amari had the best hands of any NBA player I've ever seen. Best mitts.
Yeah.
Of like Steve would throw it anywhere and he'd grab that thing and then he push the other player and just boom.
So, if you're coaching kids,
say you want to do that again.
Are you gonna coach? What are you gonna do?
I'm just the sideline reporter.
You can't just be the gay ambassador.
You're the sideline reporter.
I'm just the sideline. So sprinkle a little sideline dust on it.
You just can't be the gay basketball ambassador forever. What are you gonna do?
Yes, actually, he can. No, he can.
Respectfully, like even though we don't give each other many compliments, he has a lot to offer to the game. The dude was a high school All-American, college All-American, first round pick.
Hang on, I actually was going to ask this. Are you and Channing a All-American in college?
No, Channing might have been. Channing might have been All-American.
You have bragging rights over these two.
He don't want to talk about that.
So what we can talk about tennis. That's what I do now. I play tennis.
He don't want to talk about
see me on the court.
Look at you.
Yeah. In fact, when
tennis at your size?
Oh yeah.
I love you.
Don't laugh at his jokes.
He's like my new best friend.
No, don't laugh at his jokes.
We just said women like gay men, Allie. Lord, don't feed into the joke.
So we've had, I want to say this as an LA guy, and people don't know about like how small our community in the town is. Gilbert is a reoccurring guest and topic on our podcast, and we've had him here. As an LA guy, you got to give us a Gilbert story. Because remember when we were at the
best Gilbert
Summerlee?
Story I have is a.
But let's not turn this into something that shouldn't be.
No. I'm just telling the Gilbert story that the best Gilbert story I have. Because Gilbert, he knows how to push people's buttons, like even more than Richard. Like RJ knows how to push, obviously you know this.
Yeah.
But Gilbert is like a master at pushing people's buttons. But for me, I never let it get, I always just tried to be like, that's Gilbert, and let me just, Gilbert's over there.
Not worry about
I'm
Gilbert.
I'm moving over here, because I just know. I don't need that. And you know, I've always had nice, you know, good interactions with him. For the most part, you know, tough games, you know, hell of a basketball player, but he knows how to push people's buttons. And the funniest story I know is a UA story, which I know you guys know, is what happened with Eugene Edgerson and Gilbert. God.
Hasn't been told on this podcast, so please.
You guys have, you know the story? You know what he did? He chased him around the arena.
Yeah, he chased with the tire.
Yeah,
tire iron.
Gilbert,
Cleveland team and how crazy we were and people have no idea. That's how our Arizona team was. We were really dysfunctional.
So, right? Like, you know that there are certain people, and we all know one right now, that you just do not push the buttons on. Like, if you push the buttons on certain people, they will cross a line. They'll put you in your place, like try to. And Eugene was one of those guys. And I heard a story about him, Gilbert pissed him off, did something, and my man had some sort of metal object, like a tire iron or something, yeah, like a metal rod.
Yeah.
And he was chasing him around the arena.
He was chasing Gilbert around the arena.
Gil around?
Well, now, Eugene was crazy. Like, this one, I say this respectfully, like, and we've talked about it. It's like, our team, and Jason knows this, like, when we would compete, we were very good on the court, and we were this, and we were great competitors. But you would just hear tons of stories flowing out about the immaturity. And we had a guy on our team, Eugene Anderson. We've all matured since we were in our 20s. But he was a crazy person.
Yeah, you know what? I actually don't think he's crazy, because I actually I wanted
to do,
to chase him around an arena with a metal object, but I just was like, I'll probably go to jail for that, and it'll be frowned upon.
No, but that's the thing. It was crazy meeting crazy. Like, I like to push buttons. I like to push buttons because that's what I enjoy to do. I think it's funny and the humor in it. But, like, I also can read a bit of a room. Those two individuals, Eugene Anderson and Gilbert Arenas, they push buttons and don't read rooms. So then when one of them passes the line, then they're dealing with the repercussions of both of each other's psychosis.
And Gil, just so you know, I think we've all learned in this business that we give everyone a chance to speak. You're on our list. We want you in here.
Yeah, Gilbert's coming. Gilbert's coming.
And state your piece.
So I just wanted to, he never caught him, though. I think he just.
No, he didn't catch him. But there was times where, like, Gilbert would walk around with, like, when we'd have to go to, like, food right after, like at the hotel, like the training meal, Gilbert would just have a steak knife in his hand, just holding it, just waiting for, like, Eugene to do something.
Oh,
it was like, but, like, Eugene would fight any. Eugene would fight any. Eugene was legitimately like our Kenyon Martin. He was our Kenyon Martin, LSU guy, super strong and physical, not the most talented from, like, a college standpoint, but, like, was like,
he'll give you all you got.
He's
one of those guys that you would want on your team because you know he's gonna give you 110%.
And
effort.
No one's really gonna fight you because they gotta deal with him.
Yeah, because let me go get my big brother.
Let me go, like, you really wanna mess with me? Because Eugene just waiting to check in. He like a dog on just ready to get left off.
He's
the
like
leash,
a guy, like, who, you know, you just like have like an afro and like a cigarette, like. Yeah, I'll guard the motherfucker. So,
really, really quickly, because the one person he didn't mess with, Eugene never messed with, was Michael Wright.
Michael Wright, because that boy's strong.
You know Michael Wright. Again, Michael Wright, you were one of the most physical guys over the course of your career. Mm-hmm. Michael Wright was one of the most physical guys.
In college basketball. Yeah,
in college basketball. He was our power forward. Also gay. Yeah. Also found out much later, and I found out from other people, because he was basically dating somebody when he got over to Europe, and then all the European guys that would play over there, like Gary Neal and different guys, would come over to the league, and they'd be like, hey, you know your boy Michael Wright? And I was like, yeah. He's like, you know he's gay? And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, he walks around, got a boyfriend holding hands. I was like, no idea. And then finally later on in his career, he kind of, more people knew, and I had a conversation with him briefly, but, like, when you see a guy that you competed so closely with, like, same thing, physical, aggressive, like, I God rest his soul, because Michael passed away. He was actually, you know, allegedly his former lover is on trial for his murder. So God rest his soul. But, like, how is that when you're talking to, you said you talk to closeted athletes.
Yeah.
Like, how is that? Because there is so much that goes into that.
So you touched upon one thing, that there's this stereotype of, like, that we all grew up as kids of what a gay athlete is going to be. Like, a gay athlete is going to be soft and is going to be, you know, the boogeyman, basically. And that was, like, the stuff that I was dealing with, too, because I was like, I'm not that way. I'm physical. I'm blah, blah, blah.
You're dirty.
I wasn't dirty. But there's that component to where you sort of have to break that all down and just say, I'm me, and just stereotypes be damned. And then what was the first question? Sorry.
That wine is different.
What is this wine? I think this is a good time to plug this one.
Oh, shall we? Thanks to our friends over at Camus. They always keep our engine rolling. I love that line. And we are going to send you a couple bottles.
Oh,
so I'm
going
to get your information after this, and we will send you, because, of course, Camus, yes. But I do want to, because I know we are on a time crunch.
I have one last question when we're done.
Then that's it. I just want to make sure we've touched everything. Is there anything that you want to push out there that you're working on?
What can we plug for you? Because this airs over and over again.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Chang, we got your wine.
You didn't get down. Now he got it. Now he got
it.
Now he got
it.
There he goes.
I didn't get it.
There he goes. I got it. I got it.
That's awesome.
I got it. I got it.
We're going to have to fight to keep all of these in. We're going to have to fight so hard.
Yeah, AJ is going to walk in here so fast. That went way over my head. No, I missed it. I don't even know.
He said,
so what do you want to plug?
Oh, Jesus. How old are we?
I know.
12.
Thank you, Channing. Thank you.
I know.
You guys still think having homosexuals in a
I will just
room
let you all know that I observe for a living and I've watched everyone. Yeah. Sonia,
and that's also
Justin,
a really cool
Helena,
point.
Making you
guys
sure
still
that
you guys still think having homosexuals in a locker room be a problem?
No, so that's also what happened
fine,
when
guys.
I was with the Nets. We were able to just laugh and joke.
We
were able to be a great team, and there was none of that homophobia, like in the F word and all, you know, the stuff that you
it's
almost
okay.
have in the locker room before. But when I came out, my teammates respected me, and we were still able to laugh and joke and have good times. And so I hope those other athletes who are closeted, that they realize that when they step forward, that the league will support them, that hopefully their franchise will have, you know, will support them, and that their teammates, their brothers will support
them. And understand, and also respectfully, that there's going to be people that don't, right? And those people you wouldn't want in your life anyway.
Exactly.
And then there's going to be people like me who are just going to give you shit regardless.
Joke
with you regardless.
There was only one person.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say there was only, sorry, Chan. If you took a flight over here, we could get no. There was only one person who said something inappropriate to me on the court. There was only one person. And I was expecting it maybe even to be from a fan. It wasn't. The fans were great. We had a road trip to Charlotte, New Orleans, and Dallas.
Like
going through the South, going through the Bible Belt. I thought, okay, I got to mentally prepare myself. Like if a fan says this or does this, I have to control myself because I don't want to, you know, being the first, I don't want to have this like, here
moment,
goes the first
moment.
Gay man into the crowd trying to beat somebody. No, I was like, I'm going to control
him.
I'm going to control everything. And sure enough, hey, when we went through Dallas, there was a kid holding up like, welcome to Dallas, Jason, with like big rainbow and everything.
It was
awesome.
It drove me nuts that he became so popular.
Fans, look.
It annoyed me.
My jersey was a number one bestseller.
That's the nonsense. Okay,
say it louder.
My jersey was the number one bestseller.
Yeah, and like,
so that
and,
shows
and the lesbians
the power.
Were by, it was all the lesbians.
It shows the power of the LGBTQ community. Our allies.
It does.
Yes.
The purchasing power. The market is there for those athletes that are closeted. The support and the purchasing power will be there. You will keep your endorsements. I'm still a Nike athlete. You know,
he's looking
Nike,
around.
I'm looking around for my Nike. It's like, where are my Nike stuff? So to those athletes who are like, do I do this? Should I not do this? And that worry that the articles are just going to be written. Like, when I got back in the league with the Nets, it was about 4 days that they wrote the articles, and then they're like, okay, wait, how's the team doing? Oh, they're winning. And then a week later.
Which is stress. That's the stress, because if the team goes 0-5, they're looking at you.
Well, but if your teammates surround, you know, if you come together, it'll make the team stronger.
No.
I truly believe it'll make the team stronger.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like the one, like again, there. This is on a separate topic. We talked about our Arizona Stanford stuff. Do you have something else?
Nope. We're going to end it.
So Arizona, Stanford, Pac-12, we talked about this. I just had a question. Like a couple months ago, they talked about kind of eliminating a ton of sports from Stanford. Are you familiar with that?
I am. Did you see what just happened?
Yes, okay. I did. I saw what just happened. They reinstated, but they reinstated all of them. But
all
I wanted, like, as Stanford is, and I know you are a proud alumniest.
Oh, dear God. Arizona, here we go.
Alumni.
You can just say alum.
I'm kidding.
Get it together.
Are you saying Pam? No, but my point is this, is that Stanford is one of the Stanford is one of the richest schools in the world. They have a $29 billion endowment, and they were going to cut down, like, oh, I think it was 11 sports because of an $8 million budget, right? And these are, like, sports that, like, push to the Olympics. They're Olympic athletes. But, like, so...
There was a male wrestler who won the NCAA.
National championship, yeah.
And he wore, like, a blank jersey.
Because he didn't
like
want to represent Stanford. But speaking as a person that went to the school, and I assume you graduated.
I did. I did.
So, but like,
did you?
No. Why do you think I'm still working? What's the conversation amongst, like, because it's like, wait, why did Stanford athletes have to go out and raise money to participate in sports, right? Like, when the school has that much money.
I think there's some politics involved in that. Internal Stanford politics that I'll just say this. I am glad to see that all of the sports are going to be remaining. None of the sports and those athletes are going to lose their scholarships. They will be able to play their sport. The internal workings of that, of the decision as to why those 11 sports and to why there was a budget that there wasn't a budget for them. That has been debated, but I am not in the room. So I don't know the true story as to why that happened. I just know, okay, what's the outcome? The outcome is the 11 sports are remaining. Those players get to play. Those athletes, student athletes, get to continue. And
I like it. You don't want to say anything negative about Stanford.
No,
I hear
no, but
it's $29 billion and they're trying to save eight.
Everybody went
through some tough stuff. Like all these kids that they're trying to take off scholarship, parents lost jobs, lost money, lost of stuff. Mm-hmm. And you got $29 billion and you want them to represent you.
I don't know. I will say this. Just about every former Stanford basketball player, we're on a WhatsApp group chain.
Yeah.
Now, you want to see some funny shit.
Yeah, we got one, too, in
you
Arizona.
Got some too in
we got one, too.
We debated that. We talked about that, about, like, okay, what is really going on? Like, why didn't they come to the athletes? So we had that discussion amongst ourselves, but we still didn't have the answers. Mm. One thing that I would like to say, which is really cool, about that text chain, when the unrest happened over the summer, we were talking, obviously, about what was happening in our country, the unrest, and we're like, okay, what can we do? Like, the problem seems so big. And one of our guys said, okay, think of something that you can do in your own world that can help this situation, help. And one guy, Eric Reveno, who's an assistant coach for Georgia Tech, said, I'm going to see...
Pastor.
Josh Pastner.
Oh, yeah, Josh Pastner. Yes, Josh Pastner, head coach. He said, I'm going to see.
Hey, you hear that, kid? Stanford kid. Stanford kids are working for Arizona guys.
Anyway.
We're not letting you gloss over that. You're not letting them gloss over that. You want to talk about my education? You hear that? Stanford kids are working for Arizona guys. Just this, you know, no big deal.
Sip your wine. Okay. So
keep going. I apologize. We'll edit it out so it looks more serious.
So, but Eric Reveno said, okay, wouldn't it be great if the NCAA made Election Day a national holiday for student athletes?
That'd
or at least got it so that there were no collegiate activities. Everything was going to be excused on Election Day. Guess what ended up happening?
No way.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
He was able to, and through a network of people, it spread. Because that's like it seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah, encourage 18 and 19-year-olds to get out
registered
and
to vote, to exercise.
This is the day off.
And that's what ended up happening.
And
with
having them on college campuses, voting opportunities, and it's like, that's genius. It's like it's one of those things that's like makes such sense that you're like, why wasn't this done earlier?
But a lot of that is common. We don't have it.
Yeah. So I got to give my flowers, to my Stanford brother Eric Reveno, and. He kicked the idea out there, and we were able to
get
all
that
pull
done.
Together.
Look at you, man! So
it all started from a WhatsApp text chain.
It's all not just flowers and painted toenails with you. Good job.
And with that said, Jason. We appreciate you more than you know. I just met you today for the first time, and I will say, from the moment I met you out there to the last hour and a half spent. Channing said it best at the very beginning of all of this with your brother and just the wholesome love. Like, you have that.
Thank you.
You have that deep to your core. And
thank you.
We appreciate the conversation, the education. And again, for those that watched this whole episode, to understand the history, the backstory, the shared respect, brotherhood between all of these guys, obviously, is very genuine. So, cheers. Thank you.
Yeah, 6 years, dude. Finally
another
got
edition.
Cheers.
Hey, Road Trippin' fam. We are excited to let you know that Road Trippin' is proud to be presented by FanDuel. Never played NBA Daily Fantasy on FanDuel before? Well, check this out. Right now, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with a 20% deposit match. Why should you play on FanDuel NBA? Well, for one, it is easy to use when it comes to their app. What's not to love about that? But also, for example, they offer different and unique contests across sports in relation to your skill level. Oh yeah, and get this, you can play for big prizes, single game contests for the biggest national matches, and enter contests for as low as 5 cents. That's right, 5 cents. Simply incredible. So again, let's recap. Right now, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with a 20% deposit match. Enter URL FanDuel.com/roadtrippin to play now and get your deposit bonus. That's URL FanDuel.com/roadtrippin so they know we sent you. FanDuel, more ways to win.